Welcome to the Dogs and Deadlifts, Building Better Dogs podcast. If you like a podcast that is raw, unfiltered, and authentic, you have come to the right place. Our goal is to bring clarity around canine fitness and conditioning. We help people ignite their dog's performance and build better dogs. Join your host, Daniel Rose, as we discuss fitness, nutrition, and mindset for dogs. Let's do this. Are you lacking some clarity around dog nutrition, dog fitness, or scent work? You are not alone. Learn how to ignite your dog's physical and mental performance, safe, systematic, and injury-free. Yes, you can improve your dog's physical and mental performance and achieve amazing results following the Dogs and Deadlifts programming. Because this work is not just about you, it's whom you do it with. We understand you want to make sure your coach is the right fit. Get access to certified canine athlete specialist coach and owner of Dogs and Deadlifts, Daniel Rose. And you can figure out how to get the results you're looking for, whether it is your dog's general behavior, athletic performance, or sports scent detection. Book your 30-minute free online discovery call with Daniel today. The link is shown in the notes below.
So welcome everybody to the Dogs and Deadlifts webinar. Tonight I'd like to say thank you very much for everyone that's taken the time to listen in and tune in. I really appreciate it. So a little bit of an overview before we get started. So I'm aiming to spend about 40 minutes approximately going over the Dogs and Deadlifts system and how you can basically get started today, increasing strength, power, speed, etc. For your dogs. I'll have a question and answers, which we'll be able to type in the chat box towards the end. And also, please stick around for the whole thing. I've got a few bonuses that I'll be able to offer you guys as well, even some freebies. So my name's Daniel. I'm going to start off just a little bit of an introduction about myself. So dogs have played a huge part in my life as long as I can remember. You see there the image of me, that's me at the front, not at the back, with my blue cattle dog as a child. So 17 years ago, I basically made the decision to become, a professional dog trainer, and it really sort of took off from that moment. I immersed myself in everything I could, you know, seminars, training, everything I could soak up, I did, you know. But fast forward in 2017, I was burnt out. I'd owned a doggy daycare, dog training, grooming salon for about 5 years. Really took its toll on me. Not to mention, the shit and the rubbish that goes along with dog training, in regards to methods. I imported some dogs. There's a lot of sort of political things that I didn't like. And if you're a trainer or, you've been heavily involved in the industry for quite some time, you'll know what I'm talking about. So in 2017, I basically said, F you. I sold everything dog related and I changed my focus. I said I'd never do dogs ever again. But life has other plans, and here we are. I reignited my passion through Dogs and Deadlifts, which has a goal to combat dog obesity, reduce anxiety, and ignite performance dogs. Tonight, this program is basically about improving your knowledge and a little bit of an understanding about my methods and, how you can use that with your companion dog or your canine athlete. So, the most I can, I'll be able to give you lots of information tonight, but, the key that that I always say to people is stay consistent and stay patient. A lot of people ask me about, qualifications, et cetera. I put together some, I've got a huge list of bits and pieces, but in 2017, I completed my Cert 3 in dog behavior and training. I did that in Melbourne. I was one of a handful of people to import Dutch Shepherds and Black Malinois into Australia. I assisted with a bringing Randy Hare to Australia. As I mentioned, I'd owned a doggy daycare, dog training, dog grooming facility for a number of years. In 2019, I decided to complete the Elite Canine Athlete Fitness Coaches Certification with Dr. Erica Bowling in the US. And as I mentioned there, 2000 roughly, dogs and deadlifts was born. I've got also background in human strength and conditioning, human nutrition, things like that. So, you know, but I can only put a number of certificates on one page. Moving forward, before you start any canine conditioning program or fitness program, I highly encourage you, obviously, to see your veterinarian, make sure your dog is fit and healthy and gets the tick of approval before you commence any programs. So what is dogs and deadlifts? You know, basically my mission with dogs and deadlifts is to ignite dogs' physical and mental performance done in a safe and systematic way, and also that leads to being injury-free. You know, in a nutshell, I help passionate dog lovers around the world build a better dog and create a powerful bond that will last a lifetime through nutrition, being number one, dog fitness, and scent work. At this particular time, I'd also like to take a quick shout out to Prime 100, who, if you've trained with me before, I really love their products. They've supported me throughout my journey, and I really thank them very much for supporting me. And I've also recently aligned myself with Antinol supplement for dogs as well. So I really appreciate their support with everything that I've done, and also things that I'm doing to move forward. But the first question I get asked a lot is, what is a canine athlete? You know, to sum it up here is, a canine athlete includes dogs that are, compete in performance events, whether that be agility, obedience, disc dogs, Schutzen, not Schutzen anymore, IPG, IPO, whatever you want to call it, PSA, right through to working dogs such as police and military dogs. However, the principles we take from canine conditioning and fitness play a huge role helping all dogs, especially active dogs, whether it's just training, day-to-day, or competing. I believe that all principles of canine conditioning and fitness can apply to all dogs across the whole spectrum. Now, the first thing we look at is basically understanding your dog. Now, I'm just going to take a moment. This is a graph that I've done up, or a diagram that I've done up. One obviously on the far side being endurance, and the other one being strength. So if you've got a minute, I'd love to take a time in the chat box and tell me where you feel that you sit, or where you are on that scale. Obviously on the endurance side of things, on the left of the screen, we've got long distance mushing. Moving back to the right, we've got sprint mushing, herding, tracking, greyhound racing, mill races, protection sports, agility, flyball, obedience, nose works, weight pull. So I'd love to hear where you guys sit on this particular spectrum. If you've got a sec, just type it into the chat box. Sonia, sprint mushing and agility, awesome. Sorry, Laura, probably closer to the strength. We do obedience, rally, scent, and lure. Awesome. Maria, thank you. Between three, between my three. Tanya, confirmation, field work, tracking. awesome. All right. So, I brought that up on the screen just to have a bit of a look to see where you guys are at. So I've said endurance, obviously, and I've said strength, but I've also got endurance versus sprinters. So it's super important that you guys know where you sit, because it's going to have a flow-on effect in regards to moving forward with our elements of our performance, my performance pyramid, and things like that, okay? And energy systems, and therefore that'll lead to your training. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here. All right, moving forward as well, understanding your dog. So in sports, in particular exercise testing, the rate of perceived exertion, RPE, is measured by a ball grading, and it's called rating of perceived exertion scale. Basically, it gives us an indication of the intensity that our dog, you know, well, I've adapted this. This is my diagram that has been adapted from the human training world. Okay, so there's nothing like this for human, for dogs. So I've adapted a few things from the human side of things. So as I mentioned, this is a modified Borg scale for canines. 1 to 3, looking at this rate of perceived exertion, 1 to 3 obviously being a light activity, 4 to 7 in the blue being moderate to vigorous, and 8 to 10 being very hard and maximum effort. So when we're doing our training or we're also competing, I'd like to know where we're at, you know, especially with our training program, because you'll see that moving forward, you know, we don't want to be going balls to the wall 8 to 10 every single day of the week. Yeah, that's going to lead to burnout, overtraining syndrome, and our dog's going to, it's not going to improve, you know. For instance, I'll give you a quick example. Lady come to me and she was doing obedience 2 nights a week. She was doing protection 2 nights a week. She was doing tracking. She was doing all this high intensity work. And basically didn't have one particular day to either recover or, you know, just let the dog have a light recovery day. So, you know, she was wondering why the dog wasn't improving on the field, because she was overtraining. You know, she was making, you know, she was just going too hard too often. The dog didn't have time to recover. Also, her nutrition wasn't on point. There's a few things surrounding that, but, you know, in a nutshell, you know, she was going hard out, max effort, 5 days a week, you know, and then followed by a moderate to vigorous exercise. So there was no recovery time whatsoever, and the dog just didn't have time to recover, and therefore they weren't making improvements on the field. So when it comes to training days, you know, you'll see a little bit later on, I program you know, a recovery day or a rebound day, a stimulation day, and a development day. So green, blue, or red, very simple. So it's super important that we start to think about these things. Yeah. You know, you may do a swimming session or, a light recovery session. That might just even be depending whether you're into Candy Cross or you know, you just let the dog free run, but we want to make sure that he or she doesn't go into that 8 or 10 maximum effort sprints, you know? So, you know, we've got to make sure that we choose an exercise. It could just be a nice relaxing walk around the park as a green day, you know, as a recovery day. So these things are super important that we start to really think about and process. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, and like I said, some of this stuff I've taken from, you know, obviously the human strength and conditioning world, but we just don't sort of think about it with our dogs. So here's my performance pyramid. So, as it says here, it all starts here. The bottom of the pyramid, big, chunky, it starts with nutrition. Yeah, I'm a huge believer in this. Now, we could talk about nutrition. We're going to touch on a few things in nutrition shortly. However, you know, I'm going to keep tonight's webinars, you know, to around that 40-minute mark. Like I said, you know, each of these segments, they've got days and days that I could talk about them. So it all starts with nutrition. We get our nutrition on point. It aids with mental clarity. We get good, gut health, brain function. It all starts right there. You know, we've got good recovery. You know, we've got good energy to use throughout our training. You know, so it really starts there. Moving forward up the pyramid, we've got movement and body awareness, strength training, endurance, and at the very top, I've got sports specific. Now, I have a lot of people come to me and they, you know, they want a variety of different sport-specific training. And I'll be straight up with you. That's not me, you know. You know, I'm not a sport-specific trainer. I, you know, I'm a strength and conditioning coach, if you like. You know, I can help with everything else. And then when it comes time, you need to see a professional in that specific sport. Okay, so that's super important that you find someone that is a fantastic coach in your sport. Yeah, I do. You know, scent work is me. You know, I enjoy Canny Cross, I enjoy bike draw and things like that. Weight pull, obviously, which you know, we'll talk about shortly as well. But you know, these are things that. You know, I recommend that people you go and find a sports specific coach for that. The other thing is when we get into movement and body awareness, strength training, endurance, down the bottom here, I've got three words: movement, load, intensity. Just sort of log them in the back of your brain for a little bit, because I'll touch on them. If your dog doesn't move well, there's no way in the world we're going to add load or any resistance whatsoever, and therefore we will not be adding any load or intensity to that dog. Movement is the key. So knowing your dog's gait, knowing their you know, how they move, if they're sore, if they're tender, you know, that's up to you. Yeah, so super important that you get your movement patterns on point before you even think about adding any strength, any resistance to the, or any, and then for any intensity as well. All right, as I mentioned here, it starts with nutrition. When considering any activity, really depends on, you know, treating the individual as you see. You know, we've got a lot of different characteristics within, even within breeds, you know. So super important that we look at the dog in front of us and we treat that dog as an individual. We may be a breeder of, you know, GSPs. I'm seeing that Tanya is here. You know, you may have, you know, let's just say you breed GSPs or even German Shepherds. You know, each one from a different bloodline is going to have a huge amount of different characteristics. Therefore, their nutritional needs are going to be different. Okay, so what you need to do is look at the dog's activity level, including the duration of the exercise and the distance they're going to travel doing that exercise. Okay, so important that every dog is individual and you look at that on an individual basis. Aerobic and anaerobic. Once again, asking yourself, and I asked you guys earlier, what type of work does your dog do? Okay, anaerobic for those sprinters or those strength work, or that anaerobic for the endurance side of things. Now, I'm not going to get right into proteins, fats, carbohydrates, the breakdowns and things like that. Like I said, that can go on for days and days. However, if we look at carbohydrates are the main energy source for anaerobic energy, while a mix of fat, protein, carbohydrates for the aerobic activity. Now, there's arguments for and against dogs not needing carbs whatsoever. I understand that. However, like I said, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritties and the details tonight on this particular webinar. So I've just broken it down into a bit of a overview here, guys. Endurance versus sprinters. Your endurance, your anaerobic work, generally it's, you know, we're looking at a high percentage of fat, moderate to high protein, no carbs. Now, the anaerobic, the sprinters, now mild to moderate fat, mild to moderate protein, and moderate carbs. Now, I introduce some forms of carbs into my dog's food by the way of rolled oats. You know, we don't, you know, we're going to move forward a little bit shortly. There's a number of ways that, you know, you can use oats, you can sweet potato, things like that. You know, we're going to talk about what's best for your dog very shortly, but, you know, working out, like I said, on an individual basis, what sport you do, what, you know, what your dog's like as an individual, and customizing the program or the dog's meals to suit them. So I just wanted to chuck in here quickly. You know, a lot of people say to me, what's best, Daniel? Now, for this webinar tonight, I've taken just a couple of things from Dr. Karen Becker. She did a webinar. She's got a number of videos online talking about the best and the worst types of dog food. So in a nutshell, you know, the best that she talks about is a balanced raw homemade diet. The second best, a commercial raw food diet. And then third, a cooked balanced homemade diet. Okay. So for me, a balanced raw homemade diet, that's where I sit. Okay. I was previously, I've got Big Dog Pet Foods up there here in Australia. So I was a big fan of a commercial raw food diet. It was simple and easy. Then my dog started getting to, 30, 40 kilos. And, buying a commercial raw food diet from the pet store was just not viable financially. So I felt that I could create a balanced homemade raw diet for a fraction of the cost, having access to a variety of different foods, and rotating it through, obviously I mentioned supporters such as Prime 100 and Antinol. These are things that I use as toppers or as an additional supplements as well. We're not going to get into the kibble debate either tonight. However, I'm very, very reluctant and very anti dry food matter. They're just highly processed, a lot of carbs, and a lot of the time they're not transparent enough in regards to what's going into the actual product for me. Okay. From there, like I said earlier, it's about creating a diet, in regards to what suits your dog. And I always recommend that you potentially seek out a professional to help you. And if you're not sure, there is a lot of rubbish on the internet. There's some great stuff, but also there's some rubbish. And that's one of my goals, is to really just help educate people around this. So I took 6 months. And I work for a large retail chain here in Australia, pet store. And the purpose was to get an understanding of what the average pet owner knew about nutrition, and also what the training programs were. And, I'll give you my 100% honest answer. It is rubbish. It is absolutely rubbish. To walk into a large commercial pet store where you have a young teenager basically that works around their university or their schooling with no real understanding and knowledge of what's best for your nutritionally for your dog. Often people would ask what's best, and they just don't know. Even they had some form of training, but when you've got rows and rows of dry food, pug food, German Shepherd food, bulldog food, it's all just, for me, it's all just smoke and mirrors. It's marketing, and who can sell the most is basically the key. For me, I was very lucky that, the pet store that I worked at did sell, say, Prime 100, and a few raw commercial brands, which I was very lucky about. But we're talking millions and millions of dollars going out the door of just dry food, which is for me just a lot of fillers and a lot of rubbish. And after 6 months I resigned. But at the end of the day, that they're not there about education. They're there to make money. And your average pet store salesperson, they just don't know. They don't know at all. So moving forward, if you want to go learn a little bit more about nutrition, and if you haven't already, there's three great podcasts that I did and interviewed people. So episode 50, Fueling the Canine Athlete, episode 44, Canine Nutrition and Performance, my friend Sasha. The other one, episode 31, Feeding Dogs with Dr. Connor Brady. He's got a fantastic book. There's a number of other nutritional podcast that I've done, brought on guests, and we're talking to them about a number of things. I've also got some great guests lined up coming up as well. And I love, you'll see Dr. Nick over here on the right as an image, hashtag ditch the dry. I love that campaign that's gets pushed throughout the the world, but mainly around the UK, ditch the dry. Love that. All right. So, like I said, it all sort of starts with nutrition. Then we move on. Then we start looking at proprioception, you know, coordination, balance, flexibility, muscle strength, and stamina. The reason we do it is build confidence, concentration, and aids in prevention of injury. So these things here are non-weighted. So a lot of people do tend to ask me about the X-Dog weighted vest or some sort of weighted vest options. These proprioception drills are done if you can, for instance, super simple on a daily basis, just to build up that coordination, that strength, and that flexibility. So there's four exercises that I love, and that's the figure eight, the pause up, cookie stretch, and the postured sit. Now, I didn't include a video on those tonight with me going through them. If you YouTube any of those, quite easily you'll be able to see how to conduct them very easily. But these four drills are my go-tos for my warm-ups and my daily practices to increase that coordination, the balance, and the flexibility. Okay. So the other thing that I've listed here, guys, that is super important, that if you don't take anything away, or you take one thing away from this webinar tonight, the one thing you take away is warm up your dog and cool them down. You know, whether that be a 5 to 10 minute walk before you do any form of exercise, dynamic movements, and then on the cool down, you give them a nice muscle rub down from head to toe. You know, if you take that one thing away, you're ahead of the game. Because how many people do you see that get their dog straight out of the car at the dog park, and then they're straight into throwing the ball, and the dog goes from 0 to 100, it twists, it turns, and then back until the dog is completely exhausted? That's a recipe for injury. That's, you know, we've seen a huge amount of injuries over the last year in regards to, blowout of knees, necks, shoulders. There's a huge amount of injuries that we're seeing. If you take the time to warm up your dog, and obviously more importantly, cool them down, you'll see just those little gains, and, you'll prevent any injuries whatsoever as well. All right. Here's one of my favorites. Okay, so a lot of people say to me, strength work, if you've been around the dog community for a while, or the canine conditioning world for a while, you would have seen a lot of fit paws, and you would have seen a lot of balance pods and things like that. For me, yes, that's fantastic, and that's one version of strength and conditioning. For me, the biggest bang for my buck is drag work. And a lot of people say to me, what is drag work? Yeah. So we're going to go over a little bit of the ins and outs of with drag work at the moment. However, it's a full body strength training program. I often say to people, if you're playing rugby or you're playing soccer, you can't expect to be on your game 100% of the time without strengthening your ligaments, your tendons, and your muscles. Yeah, you're going to have some form of injury, or you're not going to be able to compete at at your highest level. So if I said to you, there's a rugby player or a football player out there that doesn't lift weights or do some sort of resistance training, there's no way, and I would put money on this, that he or she would be able to compete at the same level that his peers do, that lift and strengthen their muscles, their ligaments, their tendons, and also their neuro pathways as well. So resistance training has a huge benefit on the dog done correctly. Now, while I say that, I love drag work. Yes, I use, while we're talking about here, the X-Dog vest, for instance, yes, I use one, and I use it for a specific purpose. I get asked this question a lot about X-Dog vest, and I'm developing a program around that. Now, an example is someone came to me and they said to me, I loaded the vest up as much as I could, and I got my dog to do hill sprints. you know, over and over and over until basically the guy said to me the dog was vomiting and looked like he was going to pass out. And I was like, man, holy shit, you know, you're going to kill the dog. You're not going to make any progress whatsoever. Now, give the guy a bit of a break because he just didn't know better, right? He just didn't have the understanding and, you know, he just didn't know, all right? So, you know, there's a, you know, if you follow a specific program, you will get the gains, whether that be weight loss or increased performance. But you need to be patient. And you need to stick to the program. Okay. So my go-to though is drag work. Okay, all righty. So there are two main concepts to consider when conducting a strength program: specificity and overload. All right. So we want to make sure that you know, our training meets those two things, and we don't want to overload the dog too much. Okay. We want to gradually increase the resistance. Now, a couple of things that I use with our drag work is a custom made weight pull harness with additional length at the back to drag. Rather, it is different to a standard weight pull harness. Okay. So normally, and I'll talk about this shortly as well, around 10 to 12 inches extra length at the back. And I also use chains that I get from the hardware store. That way I can measure out the exact percentage or weight that we're using per session. Because if I asked you right now, how much does a tire weigh? You say, well, is it a car tire? Is it a truck tire? Is it a tractor tire? You know, and I got no idea how much a car weighs. So when we're doing our drag work, I am very specific in regards to knowing how much weight we have and how long we're going to pull, you know, drag it for. So having a good understanding of that is a super important factor. So as I mentioned, custom weight pull harnesses with additional length for drag work are a must. Now, my go-to SMT weight pull harnesses, you'll find them at smtharness.com. They will make harnesses and ship them worldwide. Lakeview Dog Gear is in the US. Okay. You can also get these drag work harnesses from Canine Athletes in the States. My mate Andy is a fantastic guy. And here in Australia, there is a local maker called Windchill Dog Gear. If you're live on the webinar, you'll be able to see their contact details. But my go-to would be SMT weight pull harnesses, and she'll be able to help you get started with a harness. There's lots of things to consider about that. But a good harness maker will ensure that you you measure your dog correctly, and you know, the harness is going to fit properly for you. So a couple of things that we want to note when we're looking at a drag work harness. Okay, so we want to make sure that we have adequate shoulder movement or mobility. Okay, so we don't want any restrictions. As you see on one of these, the neck comes down over the shoulder, and we want to make sure that it sits on the sternum and does not restrict any breathing as well. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, we want to make sure that there are, I've written here 6 to 10 inches. I prefer 10 to 12 inches at the rear. Okay. That's past the hocks. And we want to make sure that the spreader bar on the harness does not touch the hocks or the rear of the legs at all. Okay. This is super important that the fit matters 100%, but a good harness maker will know that and understand that. Okay. Buying stock standard harnesses or drag work harness or weight pull harnesses off the shelves, for me, in the last few years, I've seen a lot of rubbish and a lot of, you waste your money for a saving of like $20 to $30. Don't waste your time. You know, at one stage there, weight pull harnesses though, you know, all my harnesses come from the US. They come from a guy called Jimmy Allen. However, I believe these days there's at least a 6 month wait for him to produce a harness. You know, lucky for me, I have about 12 harnesses. So, you know, very, very fortunate. But, you know, at one point, and same with, if you look at Lakeview, you know, I believe there's quite a bit of a weight there as well. So if you're looking to start drag work, I would highly encourage you to start shopping around for harness makers and start chatting to them. But SMT are generally fantastic. You can also go through Canine Athletes to get harnesses as well. Then you're going to talk about rolled neck and flat neck harnesses. For me, it really depends on your dog and how your dog feels about whether they're a thicker nerve dog or they're not unsure of things around their neck, etc. So acclimation or getting them familiar with the harness is going to be another important factor as well. So moving through my pyramid to the endurance side of things. Now, for me, I'm a huge fan of slap mills. Okay, here are three of my preferred or recommended brands. Yes, there are many more out there. However, these are sort of the three that I would recommend. Dog trotter. I have seen a dog trotter here. There's not an Australian distributor. However, dog trotter mills are very, very nice. Very nice. The fire paw mills, I know that are very sexy as well. of course, they've got to do the job, but for me, they've got to make sure they look sexy. I personally use here in Australia, Valueboard Enterprises slap mill, and it's certainly been good enough for me. And, I believe that over the last couple of years, that he's Craig is improving his models, adding extras, and getting better bearings, brakes, things like that. And they're obviously at a reasonable price as well. So a lot of my clients here in Australia use the Valueboard slap mill, but also a lot of friends and colleagues here in Australia use a fire paw mill, and in the US as well. They seem to be being able to access them, and they're certainly very, very nice mills. Now, I didn't have time to to go through my full program in regards to the slap mills. However, what I like about the slap mills compared to, say, the motorized treadmills, obviously the slap mill for me, the dog controls it. Yes, there can be an incline, and we've got a brake, compared to, say, setting the powered treadmill up on a certain speed. I like to be able to go through different gates, have rest periods, increase the intensity once the dog becomes more experienced on the slap mill. They're certainly my go-to in regards to that. If you're not, into slap mills, obviously, I like to canning cross and I like to run with my dog. It's not for everybody. I understand that. So, building endurance is one step at a time, and if you're doing an endurance test or something like that, you can use a slap mill, but you can also like to use a bike as well. But we need to make sure that we really look at what gait pattern we're in and what energy level that the dog's exerting at the time. Okay, so you, for instance, the endurance test, I think what's 18 kilometers, I think last time I checked, but it's been some time. Your dog's not going to be able to run that 18 kilometers in a gallop. So we're going to look for, for me, a nice trot, conserve energy, which we can get on the slap mill when we don't have time or the weather to get out and about on the bikes. All right, so here is a very, very basic overview of a program. Okay, so sorry, I just checked the chat box for 2 seconds before I move any. Yes, I agree. Slap mills for me, depending on the weather, we've just come out of winter. Not the greatest of weather conditions here to go out for a bike ride or a run. So moving forward, building endurance base. So very, very simple block. Okay, so you'll see here on the left, I've got block A and block B to give you an understanding of a few things. The first 3 weeks is just, nice and slow and steady, building an aerobic base. So then block B, we'll introduce some of those red zone efforts. Okay. So like I said, I just put a quick sample together. you know, to give you a bit of an idea on how I would structure a program, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, we'd do a 3 to 5 minute walk, warm up. We would do our practice drills. That would be figure eight drills, pause up, cookie stretch, postured sit. And they would include obviously number of reps and or holding them for time. Then we would introduce our drag work, and my drag work for week one, once our dog was comfortable with the harness, the chains, etc., we'd only be looking at 10% of the dog's body weight and would drag for 800 meters. That would be definitely you know, a nice little introduction for our dog. Could they pull more? Yeah, probably they could, right? However, for me, we just want to get started nice and easy. Then we would unclip the harness from the drag work, put that away, and then we'd do a nice cool down. We would walk nice for 10 minutes, nice and easy. And then I would spend 5 minutes roughly just rubbing the dog, giving them a bit of love and a bit of a massage for about 5 minutes. So that's what a sample training session would look like. And that session would probably take around 45 minutes, mate, depending on, you know, I can walk to the park. So my warm up, you know, or the oval is my 3 to 5 minute warm up. Then I get there and I can do my drills. So that's no more than an hour session there. And then obviously we build on that from there. So that's how I would get started with a very, very basic 8 week training block. So a lot of people ask me about equipment. I'm a huge fan of non-stop dog wear. They're for bike drawing and their canning cross equipment. Alpha Dog Sport in Europe as well. Canine Athletes products, I'm a huge supporter of. As I mentioned earlier, guys, custom harness by SMT Harnesses. And there's one of my old dogs on the Val Ward slap mill as well. So you're welcome to take those notes down, but they're sort of, you know, in a world that tends to get very busy and cluttered, full of, you know, the next best thing or the, you know, this is better than that. I like to keep things super simple. Okay. And I've got my few favorites that I go to. So almost going to wrap things up now, guys. We've been going for about 40 minutes. You know, a couple of takeaways. Just understand your dog, their rate of perceived exertion when you're doing training around fitness and conditioning. Start strength work, including your drag work, and start building an endurance base, whether that be with a slap mill or just getting out and biking or running with your dog. Those three things will basically, in a nutshell, get your dog to increase speed, power, and endurance within that 4 to 8 week period. Obviously, once again, though, it all starts with nutrition as well. Okay. So today, guys, we're going to do some question and answers very soon. However, if you want to shoot me an email, if you liked what you've seen today, I'll offer you guys, if you email me, a 4 week drag work program, absolutely no charge. Just send me an email and, you know, just mention that you're on the webinar and we'll send that to you. Not a problem whatsoever. The other thing I've got coming up next month, for those that are here in Australia, is a 3 day dog camp where I basically deep dive into this and more on nutrition, fitness, and scent work. It's a 3 days and I'm absolutely super excited to deliver that. I currently still have spots available for that. It will be a nice, small, interactive group. And, you know, that tonight I can offer you guys 15% off for those attending the webinar as well. So if that's of something of interest, you can email dogswithdaniel@gmail.com. I can hook you up with your 4 week drag work program. And also if you're interested in attending my 3 day dog camp, where we'll deep dive even further into nutrition, fitness, and scent work, I can offer you a 15% discount on that. All right, guys. So if you want, I'm going to open it up for the next couple of minutes in regards to questions. So feel free to add any questions, queries that you like in the chat box, and I'll do my best to answer them. Sweet. If you haven't got any questions and you want to head off, I thank you very, very much for attending tonight. Like I said, I wanted to keep tonight's session approximately 40 to 45 minutes, and hopefully giving you guys a good overview of my program, but also get you thinking a little bit differently about canine fitness and conditioning. You're welcome, Laura, not a problem whatsoever.
Here at Dogs and Deadlifts, we are on a mission to education around the basis of nutrition, movement and body awareness, strength training for dogs. We align with like-minded business and therefore ensure we bring you the best advice and equipment. Today, we would like to introduce you to X-Dog Weight and Fitness Vest. If you want to maximize your dog's genetic potential, increase their power, speed, and endurance. At Dog and Deadlifts, we teach people how to ignite their dog's performance. Safe, systematic, and injury-free, using equipment like the X-Dog Weight and Fitness Vest. Get your X-Dog Vest and come join our community. Link and discount code in podcast notes.